We know the Ag Outlook Forum is underway. We're getting those numbers. But more importantly, we might need to be focusing on energy. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Darren Fry joins us today with Water Street Solutions. So let's talk about those energy markets and why we need to keep an eye on it from an agricultural perspective.
Well, Susan, thanks for having me on again today. As we were talking before we jumped on the air here, there's something going on with crude oil, the products. We've seen a pretty big move here over the last few days after option expiration. And, you know, I know we're ramping things up in the Middle East, but I think it's more than that. I think there's some other things going on here, whether it's been cost of production was higher than what people could get for new exploration or to bring wells into production. I don't know, but there wasn't enough expansion. There's enough usage. And we've just found a bottom there in that 55-60 area. And so I'm looking up across the board in energies, and that means higher costs for some of the inputs the farmers need, like diesel fuel or maybe natty gas for drying this fall, coming up here in 6 or 7 months. And so a guy needs to probably look at that. Should I be buying some input? Should I be locking in something? Because I think crude, you know, could be triple digits here by the end of summer.
So you look at that and the movement of this energy complex, will we see it possibly becoming a helpful factor on the grain side?
Well, you would sure think so. You know, I know ethanol prices typically sag this time of year and they've been pretty cheap, but hey, crude oil going up is going to bring the renewable side back in. We know bean oil has been doing real well. It's kind of been leading the bean complex higher. So I don't know how energy wouldn't be anything other than supportive for really all our markets. And so I'm not sure that you can, you know, be a seller down here. You have to wait for higher prices. And we've seen the beans move. And now we're just starting to see the wheat move. But, you know, today has been a dismal day for corn. It's still down 1.5 on the day.
Even with the Ag Outlook Forum, throwing some numbers at, it looks like beans are going to want to be the dominant and corn kind of sitting in the back seat at this point.
Yeah, it really does. And I was surprised because, you know, on the Ag Outlook Forum, the USDA put out numbers and, you know, you go back to last year, we had a huge yield, right? A yield way bigger than I thought was possible, given all the anecdotal information we took in. I was on the Pro Farmer Tour. And, of course, the I states, they did reduce, but it came from around those I states and the fringe areas. But, you know, not only that, but we found like 4 million acres after the June report, which is unheard of. And so a big bearish outlook, right? But we only end up with 2.2 carry out or something. And then, you know, we're going to hold on to 94 million acres next year, or this year, I should say, in 26, and plug in a 183, and we only got a carry out of like 1.8. You know, it doesn't seem that big of a carry out, and we got to go grow it yet. And a lot of people are concerned how dry it is. There's been fires out west in your area. People are concerned about how dry it is in the east and the south, especially in the west, and, you know, where do droughts start a lot of times in the west. And so, hey, how's this crop going to turn out? Nobody knows, but maybe corn needs to go higher than where it is at 460 for December of 26.
You know, you bring up that dryness and those fires. I mean, 283,000 acres so far in parts of Oklahoma, Panhandle, into southern Kansas. And here at NCC, the classic that I'm at, that was brought up by a cattle guy wondering how much influence we might be seeing these fires have on the markets, if any at all.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I don't know if the fires themselves directly have an impact. Obviously, my heart goes out to those folks with those issues that they're fighting and facing. But, you know, certainly it speaks of the cause and effect, right? The cause of this is just how dry it's been. And you go even further west, like ski country. I'm not a skier, but I got some friends that love to ski. And whether it's Park City, Utah, or whether it's the Front Range and into, you know, Vail or Keystone or Beaver Creek or wherever you want to go, they haven't had much snow. And they're very dry on the Front Range out in Colorado. And so the dryness is everywhere. And that is a concern as we move into a growing season. Will we get enough rain to kind of recharge things to get started? And will we have timely rains from there, you know, forward to keep the crop going and grow another bumper crop like we've gotten used to growing?
Switch gears, Darren, and go over to what we see in the livestock side. Are we on the defensive as you look at the cattle market and the risk that's there for them?
Well, I really think, you know, I've really been hitting this hard with our producers and just saying, hey, you know, I don't think you can compare this to 2025, where a lot of people were concerned when, you know, feeders were 280 and they wanted to hedge them, or, you know, cattle were 180 or so and they wanted to hedge them. I mean, we're a lot higher now, and I know fundamentals are tight and fundamentals are bullish, and but man, we're up here in a very high level. We had a deep break back there from October into November, and now we're just kind of retesting that. And we've had some great cash news. You know, last week, 244, 246 traded, some small numbers traded at 248, and then I know 250s traded Northwest Iowa this week. And yet, you know, you got April cattle. Yeah, they're up a buck, but they're 243.60. So I'm a little concerned at how sluggish the market feels, given how hot the cash market is. And maybe that's just a sign of, you know, the packer is not making money, and maybe he's going to stop bidding these up at some point to try to, you know, regain value in his boxes. So we'll see what happens. But I think a guy's got to be defensive. I'm hearing some huge numbers coming out of sale barns, you know, where people are paying so much for 6 weights, 7 weights, 8 weights. And before they take a bite of food, they're underwater. So I think a guy's got to be very careful what he's doing right now. I think there's a lot of risk out here.
I say just trying to pencil it out in my mind sometimes is a little difficult. And I'm sure you're hearing those conversations as well with folks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say most of these cattle can be placed even in a break even. And when you're paying that much for feeders and, you know, you got to look out to October or December, depending on what weight they are. And yes, corn's cheap, and probably corn's going to move up a little bit. 30, 40 cents probably doesn't matter that much, but corn moving up will hurt also. And we've had cheap corn, cheap inputs, and feeding margins have been really good with this great weather. And I think that's what's really helped the feed yards out a lot, is they put a lot of weight on, and they've made money on that. But that could be coming to an end here as we approach March.
Darren, what's the best way, as we wrap up our conversation, best way for folks to reach out and have a conversation with you?
I think the two best ways is either on X, saying, look me up, FRYE_WSS, or they can call us toll free at the office at 866-249-2582.
Darren Fry has been joining us with Water Street Solutions. Quick reminder to everybody that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Thursday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.